little Grace was smiles from ear to ear today when we were doing the blessing. It's nice when you have a little one come up and they don't fuss or, you know, get upset about it. And when you lay your hands on them, they're like pushing your hands off and like, leave me alone kind of thing. But she was having a good time, it seemed like. So that's really nice to see. I want to just mention one more thing about your prayers. John Hall, one of our elders over in the Reno area, is still suffering quite badly. His daughter, Jeannie, is trying to take care of him. They brought him back home about a week and 2 days ago. He's up and down, up and down. They've had caregivers come in and assist her, but she has to be with him 24/7. And it's really wearing on her and her husband, Brent. They're having a tough time with it. They don't really know where this is all going to lead. But it's really a stressful thing for both John Hall as well as Brent and Jeannie Curtis. So please keep that whole family in your prayers and ask for God's mercy and comfort and encouragement and even wisdom about how to pursue the path ahead of them. They're having a real struggle with all this. Well, we just observed, it's so nice again to have the opportunity to have the blessing of little children here in the congregation. We went for many, many years with none, and then recently we've had a few. We had three of them last year in Reno, and then we have little Grace here today. Even though they may be a little distraction on occasion during church service and with their little fussing and stuff like that, they're still good to have the sound of children in our congregation. It's just a wonderful, wonderful blessing to hear that little din of noise in the background going on all the time. It doesn't bother me at all. I actually sort of like it. It makes me feel a little more vibrant and energized to think that we've got all that youth around us and the activity of our future is really what that represents. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 127 to begin with. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Anyone who has ever raised a child, and that's quite a few of us in this room, knows how difficult it can be at times. Yet also there's such an incredible blessing in our lives. It's a very unique relationship that exists between a parent and a child. I think it's a relationship that God Almighty created and put into motion when man was created to help us understand him as our Father and Jesus Christ as our brother. Concepts I think that most of us comprehend and grasp, but I think it's good once in a while just to be reminded of. And when you think about it, it's all about family. And that's what it is in this physical life, and that's what it's going to be like in our spiritual life. Here in Psalm 127, we see how God looks at children and what they can mean to us as physical parents. This psalm is actually a song of Solomon as the children of Israel were ascending or returning to Jerusalem. Let's actually begin here in Psalm 127 and verse 1. We'll see that Solomon begins with an overall concept about life in general, but then moves in onto the children specifically in a bit. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In other words, if God is not a part of the planning process and the efforts that we make in life, things won't be so good. If he is at the foundation of it, things go in the positive right direction. It can actually work against us if we go the wrong direction with it. Verse 2, he said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. He's talking about having a trust and a confidence in God and his protection and guidance as opposed to our own. God's the one who provides for our needs, not us. Staying up late at night fretting over what's going on in your life or getting up early in the morning and thinking, I've got to get started on this because I know this is going to fall apart and I just can't, I got to make this happen. And worry, worry, worry. Fret, fret, fret. Stress, stress, stress. God says, don't do that. It's not worth it. Come to the point of loving and trusting God. But then on the heels of this concept, we get the following statement. Verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage, or as some translations put it, a gift. Children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, a blessing. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. A couple of points that are noted here I think we should take note of. We're going to go on to Psalm 128 afterward, but look at the concept of children that we just read about in Psalm 127. Point number one, God says children are a blessing from him, that he specifically has given those two parents. Two, they should be considered an asset in one's life, just like arrows are an asset to a warrior. A warrior's not going to go out with his bow with no arrows. That would be silly. And he said, children are just like those arrows. They're part of the assets of the family. And three, they're a sign of respect and strength in the world around us, having a solid family unit of children and parents. This is actually pretty profound when you stop and think about it, just in this one passage of scripture in Psalm 127. Okay, let's look at Psalm 128 now as a follow-on to this and get a bit more amplification on this whole idea of children and the rest of the family. Psalm 128, again, beginning in verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his paths. It starts out similarly to 127, a general message about life and our relationship to God, and then he moves on to the children aspect of it. When you eat of the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. In other words, the psalmist points out that if we are productive in working to provide for our family, which he says, I've given you the means to do that, he said, you will be blessed. There's this peaceful coexistence that takes place when we do things the way God says they should be done. And then he points out how this manifestation of the blessing will come about. Verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. What's he saying here? He's using an analogy of vineyards and olive trees. He said, just like if you were to plant a vineyard, and you would nurture it, and you would feed it, and trim it, and take care of it. At the end of this period of time, all of a sudden, you've got grapes, big bunches of grapes dangling from your vineyard, don't you? And if you get your olive tree, and you plant it, and feed it, and trim it, and prune it, and take care of it, and nurture it, eventually you get this tree just loaded with olives. He said, your wife bearing children in your household is like this. And your children are just like, it's like watching something just grow and develop around you. And you know that eventually it's going to produce fruit. And he said, and that's the way we should be looking at our families, looking at our children, looking at, even at our grandchildren. Just as we can take great pleasure in producing stuff in our yard, he said our wives can bring forth children, and then we can watch this production take place even around our dining room table. Verse 4. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. This is a blessing that manifests itself many ways in our lives. All the way to old age, which he talks about here in verse 6. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be on you, Israel. God intended children to be the springboard of our future as a family and as a nation. Go over to Proverbs 17 next. Proverbs chapter 17. As we just read, God intended for parents to see their grandchildren and beyond as a blessing. And you know, if you look at the world around us in so many places, we've lost so much of this in today's world. I mean, we as a family, like, fall into that category. We've got a daughter and a granddaughter living in Tucson, Arizona. We see them maybe two or three times an entire year. That's not a good thing. That's a bad thing. And the world that we live in, families don't stay together as knit units like they used to. They get married and they go off somewhere. They go to another country. They go to another state. They go to another city. Go somewhere else. And the family unit is not the same. And God was saying that something's lost when we have that happen. This special relationship is both for the grandparent and the grandchild. And all you have to do is watch grandparents and grandchildren interact with each other. You can see what we're talking about. Many of you have experienced it. You know what the feeling is. It's different. It's unique. It's very special. And God says, don't look at that and ignore it. Look at that and understand that's where I'm taking you. That's the relationship that I want you to understand. The reason I have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren is that you see and know and understand how many generations deep it can go. And that's the spiritual relationship that God wants us to start grasping. Let's look at Proverbs 17, and Proverbs 17 is a bit more of an application of that. this special relationship and special treat of grandparents and grandchildren. But let's look at this. Proverbs 17 and verse 6. Proverbs 17, 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. The relationship of children and grandchildren was intended to be a blessing upon a household. All of this brings us into the question of how does all this actually play out in our lives? How does this blessing manifest itself? How does it become what God's talking about here? Turn over to Proverbs 22. Proverbs chapter 22. We'll see here in Proverbs 22 that we as parents and grandparents have a responsibility to our children and to our grandchildren. It's a responsibility that takes effort. It's a responsibility that takes focus. It's a responsibility that takes love and wisdom, as we will see. But sometimes it always doesn't work out the way we hope for, does it? We put it in, and maybe the kids just take it, twist it, manipulate it. And we've had young parents say to us about their 9-month-old, their 12-month-old, she's manipulating us. No kidding. Even at that young age, they learn to manipulate stuff. Let me share a little cute story with you about children. Children were lined up in the cafeteria of a religious school for lunch. At the head of the table was a large pile of beautiful apples. The teacher made a note and it said, "Take only one, God is watching." On the other end of the table was a large pile of chocolate chip cookies. And a little boy got the idea and he said, put a note by the chocolate chip cookies and take all you want, God's watching the apples. It actually sounds like me when I was a kid, looking for the loopholes, ways to get around things. Okay, let's look at Proverbs 22. We're going to read a well-known scripture that sometimes is a misunderstood and misapplied scripture. Just one verse here. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Yes, if we as parents and grandparents plant the seeds of the truth in the minds of our children and grandchildren, God will use that seed one day when the timing is right for him and when the timing is right for the child or the grandchild, not when we as parents think the timing is right. We don't know. We do know that God is working with and has set apart our children and grandchildren for our sake. But we sometimes think, well, I brought them up in the church and I taught them God's way of life and all this and that and the other thing, but they chose not to go that way. Well, don't worry about it. They're not yours. Did you know that? They belong to God. They were loaned to you to help set the groundwork for him to take over. And God takes over when the timing is perfect for them and for him. And it's one thing that once a parent or grandparent comes to understand that, there is a tremendous relief and burden taken off of your heart. Because sometimes we feel like we failed because our kids aren't in the church when we raised them in the church. Nothing could be further from the truth, in my opinion. But that training sometimes takes on an approach that too many parents totally disagree with, especially in today's society. Go over a few verses to chapter 22 of Proverbs and verse 15. We'll see this first verse that talks about what society has basically abandoned. Proverbs 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Rather than this and a couple of more scriptures that we will read in a moment, take tremendous wisdom and tremendous love. I've been affiliated with the Church of God since the early 60s, and I have seen this passage of scripture horribly abused, misused, misapplied. These passages have been abused over the decades, and I know why, because we as human beings have a tendency to just take something and run with it. We think we know and understand what it means, and we don't. Now they are actually abused in reverse. Many just choose to ignore these principles of God. We're going to see that's not the way to go. It's not talking about beating our kids. It's talking about disciplining them when they need it so they can learn valuable lessons about life and maybe even preventable lessons to keep them from harming themselves. And I know we've got story after story that we could share with one another about how we did that. You know, I can remember the one thing about our son Joe. We had an electric stove, and you turn the burners on. It doesn't look like it's hot, but it's hot as blazes up there. And we said, "Don't touch the stove." What's he do? Reaches out to touch the stove, and we gave him a real hard smack on the hand. And he was one of these kids, he did not want to cry. So he'd grit his teeth and just look at you. Start to go for the stove again. I smacked him again. And finally, a little tear formed right here in his cheek. Finally, when he was done, I said, "Joe, if you were to touch that, you could be burned so bad you may have to go to the hospital. It's really, really hot." We took his hand up close to it until he got hot enough that he pulled away. He got the point. Was I trying to hurt my kid? No, I was trying to prevent him from really hurting himself. And that's what these principles are all about when we read through these. Let's go to Proverbs 23, maybe over right over on the next page. Proverbs 23, verse 13. "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die." Again, that principle that I was pointing out earlier. You may be able to teach them a lesson to keep them from destroying their own life. "You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell or death." Okay, one more since we're in Proverbs. Proverbs 13. Let's go over to Proverbs 13. I hope we get the point that to discipline a child is actually to love them. And it needs to be done in love and using wisdom. It may have the benefit of instilling wisdom that can actually literally save their life someday down the road. We live in a crazy world that wants everybody to feel free to express themselves whatever way they want and experience anything that comes their way. That's not God's way of life. That's Satan's way of life. That's what we heard in the sermonette. This Halloween's all about that. Experience something that you normally don't experience. Try evil. That sounds pretty exciting. Permissiveness is the norm in our society today. And what is it doing? It's killing this nation. It kills whatever country or nation or community in which it thrives. Look where it's gotten us. And I believe it's going to get much worse before it gets better. Proverbs 13 in one verse, verse 24. Proverbs 13, 24. "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." The New Living Translation puts it in pretty good terms for all of us to grasp. Let me reread that one verse from the New Living Translation. "Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them, to teach them." Again, how do we achieve this blessing and benefits of children and grandchildren in our lives? It's actually fairly simple, but it takes effort. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. All the way back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's here somewhere. There we go. This is a well-known passage of scripture that fits well here today. Will our kids always get it right? No. Never happen. Even when they're introduced to the truth, even when they're taught God's way of life. No, but it's interesting when we do teach them how sometimes they interpret what we think they've been taught. Here are some responses from kids who were asked to explain some of the things they've been taught about the Bible. These are funny. Sort of. "Moses led the Hebrews to the Red Sea, where they made unleavened bread, which is bread made without any ingredients. The Egyptians were all drowned in the desert. Afterwards, Moses went up to the Mount Sinai to get the Ten Amendments. The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. The fifth commandment is to humor your father and mother. Moses died before he reached Canada. Then Joshua led the Hebrews in the Battle of Jericho. The greatest miracle in the Bible is when Joshua told his son to stand still and he obeyed him. David fought with the Finkelsteins. And Solomon, one of David's sons, had 300 wives and 700 porcupines. As they say in the world, close but no cigar. What then is our responsibility to our children and to our grandchildren? Let's look at Deuteronomy 6 and begin reading in verse 5. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the premise on which the following verses are based. Sometimes we read the other verses and we don't think about this premise. Verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. God's way of life should become part of our being. We've been hearing that in sermonettes and sermons for the last couple of years. As we just read here, it should be in our heart, a part of our being. Become a part of us, constantly aware of it. Verse 7, you shall teach them God's way of life diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. What's he saying here? He's saying it should be ever present. If ever you have a moment or an opportunity with your child, your grandchild, your great-grandchild, even another child of somebody else's in the church, and the opportunity presents itself, talk about God's way of life. Talk about what they experienced at the feast. Talk about what they learned at Sabbath school. Talk about what they learned here or learned there. Ask them if they know the story of David and the lion's den. Ask them if they've heard of David and Goliath. These stories that have meaning to children when they're growing up. God's saying, you know, every opportunity that we have, we should take advantage of. I know we as parents didn't do this. I know most parents probably don't do this. But it's no reason we can't start today. Maybe our children don't live at home. Doesn't mean we can't talk about God's way of life. Maybe somebody else's child. Maybe somebody else's grandchild. I mean, all of us are family here. And hopefully, if we do have the love of God in us, we can look at somebody else's little child like little Grace and love her. I mean, love her to pieces and want to hug her and give her a kiss and get excited about her. Because she's part of our family. And we would want to treat her just with the same respect, the same love, the same attention, the same caring and nurturing that we'd give to our own children, our own grandchildren. That's what God's trying to instill in each and every one of us. Let's go to the New Testament now and take a look at this from a different perspective. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This whole concept of children and how they are influenced by and how they influence our lives is very important and very, very real. Children will invariably, let me give you a little quote here that somebody gave. A well-known speaker, I believe it was Billy Graham, who I'm not the greatest fan of, but he made this following statement about children and life. Children will invariably talk, eat, walk, think, respond, and act like their parents. Give them a good target to shoot at. Give them a good goal to work toward. Give them a pattern that they can see clearly, and you give them something that gold and silver cannot buy. You put them on the road to adulthood. That's what he's telling us. Powerful, powerful words to heed. Before we read in Colossians 3, there was a country song that came out in 2006. The first time I heard it, tears came down my cheeks. It was sung by a gentleman named Rodney Adkins. The name of the song was, I've Been Watching You, Dad. You may have heard it. I'd like to play that song for you now before we continue. It's only about 4 minutes long. It's got a little video with the transcript of the words. You can follow along and listen to the tune. Mm-hmm.
Mark Truthy that song or not. Our kids watch us.
Our grandkids watch us. And they imitate us. The good, the bad, and the ugly. All of us have made mistakes, haven't we? And sometimes we beat ourselves to death with those mistakes. God can fix it. It's no longer our responsibility. God takes over where we can't. And whenever our children reach a certain point, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whether we've made lots of mistakes as parents or not, it really doesn't matter. God knows we did our best. That's all he can ask of us. And when it's all said and done, he picks up the pieces and runs with it. And one of these days, we will see every single one of those kids in God's way of life. And that's a cool thing to keep in mind and keep reminding ourselves. Let's look at Colossians 3 and take this just a little bit further. Colossians 3, and let's begin in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And then verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. It's interesting to me that he doesn't say fathers and mothers. He says fathers. Any of us who have ever been a father knows why Colossians 3:21 is in the Bible. Fathers have a proclivity to do this, so we have to be on the guard of it. Mothers may too, but it specifically addresses fathers, and we'll see that again. We have to constantly remind ourselves as parents that everything we do and everything we do for our children must be done out of love, out of concern, out of care. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul realized that the relationship of children to parents, especially with fathers, was one that could have issues. He tried to point out that what we do with our children has to be done in a loving, caring manner and fashion all the time. Not in an authoritarian way, as many of us have stumbled into over the years. I've watched more of that than I'd care to remind myself. Paul will point out one key aspect of this whole concept that we're looking out for here, Ephesians 6, and let's begin in verse 1. Again, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. First, Paul gives an admonition to the children. He says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. He's referring back to the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. This is basic stuff that Paul's talking about. Then he goes on to the fathers once again in verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Doing it for their sake, helping them learn things that one of these days will be beneficial to them. So where does all of this leave us today? Actually in a good place. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah 54. As we get ready to close here, we'll look first at the Old Testament and then a scripture in the New Testament. There's a biblical message that exists for all of us to enjoy and appreciate. And here in Isaiah 54 is one of those passages of scripture. This is one of those passages of scripture that you almost always will hear during the Feast of Tabernacles. Because it's talking about a period in time where this manifestation of the blessing of the children and the manifestation of the family relationships all come together. Let's look at Isaiah 54 beginning in verse 13. Isaiah 54, 13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. You shall not have fear. And from terror it shall not come near you. And what's important about this message? It's all about having the proper relationship with our children and our relationship with God. It's a symbiotic relationship. We love our children, care for our children. Our children love and eventually care for us. And our children then learn to love God the way God wants them to be loved. Okay, let's wrap it up today, going back to the New Testament, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The subject of children and the relationship with God is one of great value and great perspective. Paul knew, as we'll see here in 2 Timothy, that how we all relate from our youth and going forward with the truth of God is critical. I hope all of us realize and focus on this continual training process that doesn't start and end with a child. It starts and it continues all the way through life. It's a perpetual learning process. We can learn some of that training by coming to Sabbath services each week. We can learn some of it by Bible study. We can learn some of it even by prayer and sharing interaction with each other. This education is essential for each and every one of us and each and every one of our children in the Church of God. Let's begin here in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. Paul says to Timothy, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Yes, children are a blessing from God, and each and every one of us was one of these children at one point in time in our life. When we train up a child in the way that he should go, good things will happen in that life, in the life of the child as well as in our lives, as we just read in 2 Timothy 2. This training is able to make us and our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren wise to salvation, which in the end is what it's all about, isn't it? Have a great Sabbath.